Welcome to Health Bunker Podcast. And this is episode 12. My name's Dom. And today we have Claire Wilson back on the show, who's a nutritionist from Huddersfield, local to where me and my wife live and run our Health Bunker business. In this podcast, we're discussing toxic relationships and also Lyme disease, or Lyme syndrome as I like to call it, and other illnesses that surround this syndrome. We're also going to discuss the benefits of vitamin C, the doses that we take, and the types of vitamin C you can take, and the types of treatments you can also have, i.e. vitamin C powder, etc, etc. So I hope you enjoy it. If you want to buy supplements, remember, use the discount code in the show notes. All right, welcome back. We're just recording another Health Bunker podcast. I think this is number 10 or 11. Anyway, I can't remember. You'll see it on the description, no doubt. And joining me again today is nutritionist Claire Wilson from somewhere else in Huddersfield. Oh, she's got a southern accent. She's not a full-blown Yorkish. You can't claim that one, I don't think. Or will you claim that now?
I don't know. I've been up here 23 years, maybe half.
You can't claim it. Yeah, yeah. 50-50, let's just say.
Yeah,
a bit like my colouring.
Bits and pieces.
Yeah. Today we're going to talk about a couple of things that I've been asked about. Vitamin C types, doses, things like that. I thought it'd be good to get you involved in that. We'll also talk about, I suppose we were discussing about Lyme disease on phone the other week. And I know I get asked about what is Lyme disease, and we were talking about that. So we'll discuss that. But we'll start on what we're just discussing now about how to... It's more or less impossible to heal in a toxic environment, let alone whether your body or your system or terrain theory and all these other things are toxic. If you're in a toxic relationship, it's difficult to heal. We get people coming to the clinic who their other halves bring them and they're not bought into the whole process, diet and everything. And also we get it the other way around, where the other half is bought into all the treatments and the diet, but the person who's ill isn't bought into it. So it does work both ways as well, which is even more odd. And I'm sure you see a lot of this, don't you?
Yeah, I see a lot of it. And it really does affect how I can try and heal people, because if someone's in a toxic relationship, then especially with a narcissistic person, then their dopamine hits are up and down. So they're constantly kept in this like fight or flight situation. And when you're in that fight or flight, your body doesn't digest, it doesn't detoxify correctly, and you just can't heal. So it makes it very difficult for me to get that person to even realise they're in that situation, because they've been stuck in it for so long. Because when you're in a toxic relationship, one minute it can be great, and then the next minute it can be absolutely rock bottom and horrific.
And when we're talking about relationships, it can be parental, it can be siblings, it can be other halves, it can be friends, it can be any sort of relationship.
Yeah,
work colleagues.
I've heard people that have, you know, been so stressed at work because of somebody really toxic at work that it's actually caused their health to fail. And it takes that person, you know, and working alongside me, because basically people become sick. And it's the whole system. It's like mental and emotional. It's physical toxicity on the body. It's external toxicity. So whatever we're eating, you know, if we're not eating organic, whatever we're putting on our skin, the whole caboodle can cause this like toxicity in the body where, you know, cancer can form. Because cancer is the end result of the cells getting over toxic and then they mutate. So it's unpiecing that jigsaw puzzle. And I find a massive part of it, especially today, is the toxic relationship side, because we're living in such a stressful world, and people are flung into that fight or flight, and they're living in that constantly. So they don't actually feel, when I say to them, are you stressed? Are you stuck in that fight or flight? People don't even realise it, because they've been in it for such a long time. And part of the healing process is you may have to disconnect from those people that are toxic in your life, just so that you can get out of that situation, because you can get people out of the situation by using vagus nerve resets. There's an amazing acupuncture tool that I use at the moment from Dr. Berg, which I don't know how it works, but it does work on the vagus nerve. I use it before bed, and if I have had a stressful day, I can just use it on my upper neck and I just sleep like a baby, and it puts you back into that rest and digestion. That, that's only when you're going to, on a cellular level, recuperate while you're sleeping. So it's very important.
And the problems it causes, diet is obviously one of the key parts, and obviously it's a large part of the financial burden on people is shopping for food. So if in a relationship you've got one of the a partner that doesn't buy into you eating, say, a ketogenic diet because they eat other things, that causes just that one thing there can cause stress, let alone anything else, can it?
It can,
Without
and
treatment.
yeah, and it's so, and it is so key with things like cancer, because most of the cancers do actually thrive in a sugar. They feed on sugar to metastasize and to grow and to mutate into more tumor formation. So the ketogenic diet, even if you fluctuate in and out, is so key, and just having no sugar in the diet is just one of the key parts of.
But yeah, I was thinking more the relationship side of it, because the toxic relationship side, having to buy two separate sorts of food when you're not
Food,
used to
yeah.
buying that, or you can't go out for meals anymore because you're not eating McDonald's anymore, or you're not eating that type of
Yeah,
food anymore.
exactly. It
You're
puts a
not
huge
drinking beer.
pressure.
You're not drinking beer or alcohol anymore. So these are the things that you've got. That's just one side of it, let alone the mindset of actually stopping in the first place.
And if you are with a narcissist, they don't ever really love you anyway. It's all about them. So even if you're sick, and you're having to do a different diet, or you can't go out and you can't eat, it will always be about them. And they will never think about you. And that's the hardest thing as well, especially if you're poorly.
It is, and again, getting your head around treatments for people, it's difficult. I mean, we saw this in 2020. I don't want to harken about 2020, but we saw this in 2020, the split it caused in families when the jab rollout started, that the people that didn't want it, even if they weren't totally on side with a lot of the other things that were going on, it caused massive divides within family units, not just partner to partner, but mum and dad and all this type of stuff. And it's the same mindset, isn't it? You're
Yeah,
basically saying to
definitely.
somebody who's ill, you've got to change your whole life. And it's a scary process to start with, let alone for dragging all the family along with it as well. And it's not guaranteed to work either. That's an even worse
No, it
scenario.
isn't.
There's no
Although
guarantees.
the combination of things tend to work, but I always say to people, a positive outlook is really, really important. So if you've got a serious disease or a serious illness or cancer or anything like that, it is so important to have positivity that you're going to get through it, because the mind is the most powerful tool to get well. It is the
It is.
computer, to the rest of your body. And if you keep telling yourself you're going to die, then it's sending out it through your neurons, chemicals into your system that will make your body sicker.
Yeah,
So,
I'll run a scenario. When I were really bad with Lyme, I'm trying to think of a year now, say 2010, 11, 12, 13, 14, probably up to 16, 17. But anyway, around those times, every second, more or less, of every day, it felt like we were going to die. The thought process was, I'm not going to
yeah.
make it. This is going to happen. That's going to happen. The fight, got to talk about fight or flight. Yeah.
I was the same when I
Yeah,
was
I know you
sick.
were. Yeah, I'm just using my experience to say this is the mental torture that that caused you. And also those impulses that you're thinking, that thought process is happening constantly, repetitively. It just absolutely destroys you.
It does, and you have this thing that's called, there's a doctor called Dr. Navarro, and he says about the cell danger response, and it gets you into a loop, and your cells are constantly then in this loop, and it causes what's called a cell danger response. So the cells then think your body's in danger, and they get stuck, a bit like fight or flight, but your cells get stuck in this cell danger response, and then it can be even harder then to break that, because they can get stuck in the cell danger response, and your body gets stuck then thinking it's going to stay sick. So, and there are ways to get out of that as well, but that's when the body's been sick for a very long time.
Yes, well, the longer I left it, the worse obviously it got. But I was doing a lot of other fortunately, I was doing ozone, things like that, but not the IV ozone or IV vitamin C. I was taking oral vitamin C and doing ozone saunas. We'll come to that later on. But I think without that, I don't know where I'd be, to be honest with you, without the infrared sauna and things like that to help manage
Same.
symptoms or day to day, just get some respite from certain things. But those impulses stopped after three ozone TenPass treatments. Those anxieties stopped. And I mean
That just
stopped.
shows you how powerful it is at clearing the blood system, isn't it, really? And I think the oxygen therapies are so good on a cellular level because your cells are what are really, your mitochondria, your cell system are, when you've been sick a long time, are what needs that oxygen therapy. So that's why ozone, hyperbaric oxygen, I think, are massive key roles in helping the body recuperate when you're really, really sick.
It's interesting that come on to after toxic relationships, which are quite a key thing, and it's much. I remember in the 2000s, going back to 2002, I decided I was going to do a bit of. I was quite a stressed guy. I had business, etc., etc. I wanted to do some work on my thought process, if you like, why I was in getting involved in, I suppose, toxic relationships. Why? Why? I'm always asking why. So I went to see this lady quite by chance, my neighbour, who was a homeopathic nurse or doctor, whatever we'll call them. I said, "Do you know anybody who does hypnosis?" She says, "Yeah, a friend of mine." So I went to see her, didn't think anything of it. I didn't realise she was a clinical psychologist as well. And she was a clinical hypnotist. And she said, "What do you want to get out of this?" I said, "Well, what I want to get out of this is I want to know why I'm making decisions." And she said, "You do realize if you go down this process, the people in your life now won't be in your life in another, whatever, 5, 10 years." And I started laughing. I said, "I've known these people all my life." And they weren't. As soon as I realized what
Yeah, I
was
had the
causing,
same. It's boundaries, isn't it? You give off too much information to people if you're that sort of person, if you're giving empathic sort of person, and these people are very good
predators.
manipulators. Yeah, they are
The
predators.
yeah the
They work, they're looking for your sort of person. They're working out what they can gain from you. It's all about them, and they work you out and they mirror what you want to see.
yes.
And now I'm the same as you. I did the same. And it's building sturdy boundaries in place, and recognizing the signs, because there were signs. When I look back,
Oh yeah, quite
I won't say there were little
blatantly.
there weren't little red flags, there was big red flags.
Fireworks.
But you always, because you're an empathic person, you always make up excuses for that person, and you're like, oh, it's because of this, or it's because of that. Excuse number one, and then another red flag would come up, and you'd make up another excuse. And your gut intuition, you should always listen to it. There was loads of times I found my gut intuition was like, ah, no, blah, 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 but I didn't listen to it, and so it was a big learning for me as well with not letting these people
It's a
take
difficult
over.
one because you're talking about friends, my business partner who I've been in business with for a long time, even my dad. I didn't put up with his behavior. I don't say I fell out with these people, but because you were different, they drifted away from you because they knew that they couldn't have that
Yeah,
type of control over you.
exactly.
My partner at the time, who was totally narcissistic, but anyway. But what I'm trying to say is that these people you shouldn't be with around or whatever in the first place, because you're
Yeah, they
totally
drain
opposite ends
you.
of the battery.
They're energy drainers. They will drain you of every bit of life force. And I was with my husband, my ex-husband. I was with him for 11 years. He was narcissistic, and I think that was a massive part of why I became ill, because my detoxification just, I was in fight or flight all the time, not realizing, and my detoxification didn't work, and that's why I got poisoned with the thulium when it was removed, because a big part of my detoxification wasn't even working at that
And
point.
I don't want to make this sound like it's a pity party. I look at things now, especially through a lady who I went to see in 2002. I saw her every week for 8 years. That's how interested I were in this. That's the amount of work I put into this. You talk about the 10,000-hour rule. I put the 10,000-hour rule into that, and I learned so much from this
Yeah.
experience.
I bet you can spot people straight away now, can't you?
I wouldn't say everybody, but a lot of people, yes.
Yeah.
The majority of people now, I just, hence why when people ask me to go do talks and things like this, there's two things. One, when I haven't got that type of energy now to go and want to do that type of thing, but two, I don't want to be around. Even people in the truth community can be draining because
Yeah.
it's not just about people who are looking for truth. Even people out there who are naive to what's going on, they can still be empaths. They don't mean to say they're all bad people, and but there are narcissistic people within the truth community, if you like, or the health
Yeah, oh,
community, you know.
definitely, 100%.
And
I've
so
met a
you've still
few.
got to be careful with not getting drawn into that side of it as well. But that's a totally different subject.
I think because they are such good at manipulation, they see what's gone on since 2020. They saw it straight away
Yeah.
because they are manipulators. And it was one big manipulation. So,
Yeah.
there are quite a few, I think, in the truth movement.
Yeah, I agree. I
Yeah.
totally agree. And there's bound to be. It's not necessarily we're picking on anybody or any individual. They're bound to be. And just because they're saying the same thing as you doesn't necessarily mean to say that you're aligned morally either. And I know
No,
we're drifting off a little bit into more
we are.
esoteric things, but it's the same principle because even though you get rid of the people that you don't get on with, if you want to refill the void, which I didn't really want to, you might fill it with the same type of people, so you've got to be careful over that as well.
And I think as well, once you get your health back after being with somebody like this and they've drained you and you realize that that might have been a big part of why you lost your health as well, is that you, when you do realize and you build up boundaries, you don't attract those people
No,
anymore. And then
no.
you attract a lot more people that have a good energy around you, a vibrant energy. And I mean, I look at my friend group now, I've got a fantastic friend group,
Yeah.
and I have met people along the way that I thought maybe narcissistic. And I've still got some friends that are, but I just keep them at arm's length. They're just acquaintances more than friends, you know. So,
Yeah. Yeah.
because some of them are family members, you know, you can't.
You can't just bin everybody off.
No.
Like my father was one. Yeah. Although he was a bit antagonistic, well, a lot antagonistic, I still had to go down and see him every now and again, make sure we were all right. But yeah, it's difficult. But that was my grounding for narcissism. It became normal because he was one. So when you're
Yeah.
brought up by one, that is what you're attracted to because that is what you know. You're going
Yeah,
back to
that's
just
true.
going back to
Yeah.
type.
And just the way that you had to deal with the situation you had with a family member, you get used to acting that way, and then it attracts others that are the same. So
Yeah.
then that's, I'm like you, I had to learn by having a lot of therapy, how to build those strong boundaries, you know, and when you have those in place, you don't attract these people anymore.
Yeah.
And the people that you do recognize, you just keep at arm's length,
Yeah.
really.
Yeah. Right, we'll shift on because we only try and do 45 minutes or so of information in this because
Right, okay.
it can get a bit mind boggling if we do like on the other podcasts we do hours, but I'd like to keep these a bit shorter and sweeter. But going back to Lyme disease, you get a lot of people saying terrain theory and germ theory don't exist and all this since 2020. This terrain theory I learned about, oh, about I'm sure you did 10, 15 years ago, and it makes sense, you know, if your terrain's toxic, then there's like a likelihood of you being toxic as well. But I think there's a bit more to it than that. I think if I know people who are toxic, but they seem fit and healthy. They don't seem like me, you know, where they just do normal things, and I have to put thought into going doing things to make sure that you're going to be all right because you. So that tells me I'm not totally all right, if you get my drift. So terrain theory is important, but also I think that when your immune system goes, when it's been
Yeah.
compromised. These things that wouldn't normally cause a problem, bacteria and things like that, they start causing you a problem whether you like it or not. They maybe end up in the wrong place, or maybe you just can't handle what your body would have normally got rid of. That's where I'm at on that one now. A lot of people
Yeah.
probably disagree with me. That doesn't matter. But
I
Lyme.
think it's a massive thing, especially with Lyme. And many other diseases as well, even, all sorts of things, because your body is a massive makeup of all different systems. And so the more toxic you become, the more expressions on your genetics you get, the more expressed genes you have, the more you can't get good stuff out of your food, like you're MTHFR like I am. And we seem to our detoxification isn't as well. So
Yeah.
more toxic you get, the more or less your immune
I'll run a
system.
scenario. Went to see my mate the other day who was a sports therapist. And since I was a kid, I've got this my neck's displaced. It sort of sticks out here on my left hand side. And he was messing around with it, right? And this is how, when you know that you're toxic, messing around with it, trying to get my cranium, trying to get it to click. It feels like it needs to click. A lot of pain in my left hand side of my neck. Anyway, the day after, the gum swelled up, right?
He's moved something.
I felt like shit, right? And it moved something, and it drained something that had been there either for a long time, either from my old fillings that I'd had removed, whatever, or had been in there that had been stuck there. And that's what we're saying. That's what we're talking about there. That this might not
It
be
moves to
bacteria. It could be
no.
just
And it could,
crap.
yeah. And so that's like probably your lymph still isn't working properly. So he's moved something, and where a normal person's lymph will move it out into the blood system, and then they would detoxification, it would go through the liver, they pee it out, it would go through the liver, and you poop it out. With you, it still got stuck up there because your lymph up there probably isn't as working as well as it should. And this is the problem that we get. Like you were saying, some people show that they've got Lyme, they have bioresonance, and they say, "Oh, I've got Lyme. It shows I've
Yeah,
got
do you know
Lyme."
what, Claire? I've had loads of people say to me, I've shown up for Borrelia, I've got blah blah, and I'm saying, well, you've got no symptoms, so you're not real. I think most people show up for, well,
Yeah,
not
I think
show
they
up,
show
but.
up for Lyme, because I think I would say probably as much as 85% of the population has got Lyme, but their immune systems keep it in check. And if everyone went and had a bioresonance, I've had loads of people go for bioresonance and say, "I'm showing as I've got Lyme," and I don't get worried about it because they're not showing as having any symptoms, because it's the co-infections of Lyme, the bacterial infections that are what make you really sick, and so their immune system is probably still keeping those in check. And with you, yours happened shortly after you had travelling vaccinations,
Exactly, in the early 2000s.
so your vaccinations. We know that
Screwed me.
vaccinations actually do a bad job on your immune system because they are actually working with your immune system. And so obviously you MTHFR, so your body couldn't assimilate the toxins out of the vaccine out of your body. So your immune system probably completely dropped, because you had Lyme inside of you. Your body couldn't fight it then, because all the co-infections started to come out, and your body then was in a bit of a state. And that's why it came out. And that's what I think happens to most people that have got Lyme. Something's happened in their life. Can
Compelling
be,
event of something,
yeah, it can be something even like really bad stress or loss, because
or
that
moving
affects,
house or something,
it affects the immune system absolutely terribly, because when they're in that state, they're in fight or flight, they're not detox, they might already be quite toxic. And so they're still adding stuff in, and there's still airborne stuff that we're exposed to every day, things off gas. If your body's not detoxifying it out, it's just adding to that bucket load of toxins, and then your immune system flummox, and then you can get Lyme. So there's loads and loads of different ways, that the body reacts. And this is why I say toxicity comes in many forms, like mental and emotional, and what you put on your skin. People don't realize that, that their facial cream or their skin cleanser or what they brush their teeth with, contains so many different chemicals. And all these things, the skin is actually the biggest organ of the body. It's an organ, and it's got a huge surface, and whatever you put on your skin actually goes into your body. And a lot of stuff that we use, I say 99% of things that you buy in the supermarket, shower gels, are all really toxic to your body. You should only ever really be using essential oils, I would say, and things that haven't, green people actually do
Yeah, they do some good products.
really good products that just don't have any chemicals in it at all. And that's only because her child had really severe eczema, and she actually made skincare products that just had nothing in them because there wasn't anything available. So it's all of this sort of thing that you need to look at when you become sick.
Yeah, and the process. I mean, I keep saying I were lucky, but I wasn't lucky, were I, really?
No.
Otherwise, if I were lucky, I wouldn't have had anything wrong with it. But and then the learning process out of having these symptoms and that, it has been huge for me as well. So the
Yeah.
learning, I wouldn't have never learned any of this stuff, and I've no
But
doubt
I
you
look
wouldn't have
at it,
learned your stuff
no,
either.
I look at it, Dom, because I remember when I was going through it and I was right at the bottom of that cycle downwards, and I had severe depression because I had mercury poisoning, and it's the most horrific thing I've ever gone through. But I remember days when I just wished myself dead. I'd rather
Yeah, same here.
have been dead
Yeah.
because it was that bad. And I look back, I can remember looking back loads of times thinking, why did it happen to me? Because I'm not a bad person, you know, like you always ask yourself these questions. But I think we're given a life path, aren't we? And now I help loads of people, you know, in all sorts of ways, detoxifying, you know, trying to get their bodies back into health. And I probably see it as maybe it was a path I was meant to follow, and maybe it was a path you were meant to follow, because you've got the clinic now and you're offering ozone, which a massive thing, and it's a massive need in the UK, and
I
not
don't
many
think
people.
people. I say to people when they come, I don't think you realise what you're actually sat on. You know, having an ozone clinic on your doorstep, right?
So
That
lucky.
I'd if this had been 10 years, I couldn't find an ozone clinic 15 years ago that did these treatments.
No,
They were only in
Germany. I think it
Germany.
was Germany, yeah.
Now there are a few around, but yeah. Anyway, I forget where I lost my train of thought there, but
I know people that were so desperate. My friend in Ireland, she actually bought her own ozone machine, and she had really bad co-infections in her jaw. She had strep and all sorts going on in her jaw, and she just couldn't get rid of them. And she was losing loads of teeth every operation she had. And in one surgery, they actually found parasites. There was actually parasites that he got out of her jaw. And so she got an ozone machine and was injecting herself in her jaw with ozone because she was that desperate because there was nowhere for her to have it done. And that was the same. That was about 10, 12 years ago.
Yeah, a lot of these treatments just didn't exist. I used to watch the guys on YouTube, Dr. Schallenberger, Dr. Rowan, people like that, doing ozone treatments in America, and he couldn't get them over here. Then there were a couple of the Infusio in Germany doing ozone, and we booked in actually to go to Infusio in Germany, me and my wife. I'm glad I didn't go actually, because one, I've heard bad reports about Infusio, but also one treatment didn't really do anything.
No,
Even though I said
that
it got
mate.
rid of a lot of the anxiety after three, still didn't get rid of a lot of the issues. It took quite a lot of treatments. And that's the other thing. There's no way you can say it's going to work, and there's no way you can say X amount of treatments is going to solve it. Because
No.
I think I'm at a place now where I don't think there is a cure. I know
No.
that
You have to just, I
you've
mean,
got to be a
I'm the
realist, I
same.
think. You've got to be a realist, haven't you? I think we're at a management stage where.
Yeah, you've just got to manage. I'm the same. I will be doing IV vitamin C transfusions on myself probably for the rest of my life.
Yes.
And that was the only way I got rid of the heavy metals, really, as
Yeah.
well as using glutathione. But I found nebulizing glutathione was better than IV in it, would you
Yeah,
believe?
right.
And I will be managing it because I have taken my foot off the pedal for the
We
last
all do,
six
though, at
months.
times.
And
We all
then I'm
do.
thinking I've got to get back on it again. But that's something that I know that I'm going to have to do. And that's the thing, when you have got a chronic illness or disease, it might be ongoing that you have to do stuff to keep management on it once your
Yes.
immune system has gone and
Yeah.
once your environment, as I say, inside is no longer in homeostasis,
Yes.
in balance.
Yeah.
Because I truly do believe that viruses exist within the human body. They're there. We've got a virome and we've got a genome, which is the bacterial zoo. And I think it's like a massive world inside of us that is in balance. And when it becomes out of balance and our immune system has taken a hit, that's when there's a serious problem.
Yeah, you see, there's a, I mean, we, I think we spoke about this last time. There's a lot of people now saying that viruses don't exist. Now, whatever a virus is, right? Let's just say they're not physical. Let's just say they're metaphysical, whatever.
Yeah.
It's And or they've never been seen under a microscope, for argument's sake.
No.
This is the argument, right? Which is a good argument, by the way. I'm not saying it's not a valid argument, but that doesn't mean to say they don't exist. Because Royal Raymond Rife invented a microscope that got stolen, and nobody actually knows how to make them anymore. And that was in the 1920s.
That's crazy.
Yeah, and the Rife frequencies. I was saying
Right
this on a podcast.
frequencies, yeah.
Yeah, well, Royal Raymond Rife had all his equipment confiscated by American whatever FBI. I don't think we were the FBI at that point, but in the 1920s, he had it all confiscated, all the patents taken off him,
I know, because
and then burnt down.
I bought a spooky two, is it called? I've
Yeah,
still got
spooky
it in
too.
the
Yeah,
cupboard.
yeah.
I found it really hard to
Old,
sort
is
of
that Holder
work.
Clark? Is it Holder Clark?
No,
It's a different one, isn't it? Hers is
yeah,
the
and you can
what?
get like a new thing for it. And
Yeah.
I would like to get it working actually, because you can change frequencies in your home.
I've got a
And
massive
so
book of frequencies like that at home,
I think
thousands of them in.
yeah, I think it's important. I think there is definitely manipulation of frequencies.
100%.
And if you can keep the frequencies, and what I like about the spooky is you can take a bit of your DNA, whether it be hair or skin, from each member of your family and put it into the spooky, and then it will make the frequency in the home protective for all of those people that are in the home. But it's just really complicated how it works.
Yeah, well,
It's like,
I actually think that because the frequencies are, because Raymond Rife did all his work in the 1910s, 20s type of thing, and they were all stolen. A lot of them are copies of copies of copies, so nobody actually can remember the exact, or nobody's got an actual record of what his exact frequencies are. So they give you a range of frequencies as opposed to the
frequencies,
exact
yeah.
So I think. Anyway, nobody's actually done the research that he did. But bear in mind, that's over 100 years ago. But again, we're talking about, so we had two. I've got two. I suppose they're called lasers. They're called quantum lasers, and they are frequencies that you can load in and pre-program. They've got pre-programmed ones, and you can do manual frequencies as
Yeah, they're
well.
meant to be very good, aren't
They are
they, at
very good. Yeah,
healing? Yeah, really
yeah.
good.
Well, there's a few things that you see them work on, like say that. Stomach issues, parasites, things like that. They're very good on that. Even down to, they've got a still point, well, not setting. You put them on your adrenal glands, and you basically, it's like meditation. Takes you into a meditation state.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, because your adrenals, when you get stressed, they're the first things,
Exactly.
that cause an issue. And I get loads of people saying to me, "Oh, I feel really fatigued lately," and if it wasn't for my coffee. And I say, "Well, hold there," because coffee is the when you're starting to go in, when you go into stress, and say you've had a few nights where you haven't had good sleep, and then you head for the coffee. You're heading for the coffee every day. It can severely tax your adrenals, and then you can have adrenal fatigue.
Yes.
And the adrenals, need huge amounts of vitamin C, would you believe?
Yeah.
Loads and loads of vitamin C. And we don't get enough of that in our diet or with what we eat, because our soils are depleted. So, and that's where it becomes a necessity to take vitamin C on a daily basis as
Yeah.
well. So, but I do believe that the reason why people haven't got the balance in their body now is one massive thing that I've done a lot of research on recently is glyphosate. And the glyphosate works on a pathway in your gut, which destroys some of your good flora, and it makes your gut leaky. And so I think a lot of toxicity now that we are getting from our external environment, through our food, through pesticides, goes through our gut and it leaks straight into our blood system. And
Yeah.
whether that's been done on purpose, I don't
I
know, but
know what my
glyphosate
money's
is,
on.
yeah, it's a massive big problem is glyphosate, and then that affects the immune system.
This
So
comes back to that, again, germ versus terrain theory, for argument's sake. Most people's terrains, and in our country especially, are compromised to a certain point, some more than others. And so that terrain theory, which is still a theory, is really. You've got to wipe that off the slate because everyone's compromised.
yeah, everybody, definitely.
And so nobody's terrain is perfect. Yeah, some people feel better than others, for argument's sake, but nobody's terrain's perfect. So there is no terrain theory and versus germ theory. Also, if germs are getting into areas, you've got leaky gut and they're getting into areas where they shouldn't be, let's just say bacteria, is getting into areas. So your gut can handle the bacteria, but if it gets into other areas, it can't.
No, and it'll get into your blood system and then it
Yeah.
can move into your brain. And they have actually found in the glial cells of the brain bacteria. And so they've got proof now that bacteria doesn't just stay in the body, it actually does move around
But the
the
argument to germ
brain.
theory is that bacteria shows up to heal the body, doesn't it? That's what.
Yeah.
So for instance, the argument is that if there's a fire, you don't arrest all the firemen because they're trying to put the fire out, which is basically what antibiotics do to
Yeah,
bacteria.
antibiotics are absolutely so damaging. And so many people I have that take antibiotics for things that they shouldn't even take. I mean, antibiotics now should only be used life and death, I think.
I agree with you.
We've got so
There's
many
no need, is there?
antibacterial resistant bacteria, which, is terrible, and that most, this is what people die from. And sepsis is a massive problem that seems to be cascading as well, and we didn't have that. So
Since that's since something that happened in 2021. I don't know where it was, but something strange happened, something odd happened in 2021. But just finishing off on Lyme disease. I'm going to do a full thing on Lyme disease, not because I want everybody to know, oh, Dom had Lyme disease. More the fact that if you were going to invent a weapon that destroyed someone silently, I'd call it Lyme syndrome, not Lyme disease. It's
Yeah, I've often wondered, because I thought about this, because this, they've manipulated mosquitoes, haven't they? How do we know that they didn't make Lyme and put it into the, because everyone will be getting bitten by a
Well,
tick.
the research I've done, I mean, if follow my work on the other stuff, the research, you'll know I dig into it. So you can imagine what I've done on Lyme disease. Borrelia burgdorferi is named after Willy Burgdorferi, right? It was him who said that's causing Lyme disease in 1970 or whatever it was. But he worked for the US government at Fort Detrick, injecting ticks with bacteria. With
Oh,
modified
really?
bacteria,
Oh, my gosh.
and the Lone Star tick in the 1950s, and a lot of the paperclip German guys were coming, and the Nazi guys were coming over to Fort Dietrich after World War II. One or two of the guys, they'd been doing it in Germany and dropping them on Russia during World War II to try and destroy livestock. A guy called Eric Traube. Dr. Eric Traube was a German guy, a scientist,
So it
and
looks like it's definitely been manipulated
oh, they
then.
were under. They dropped millions of ticks across America and Europe. This was post-war. This isn't in. There's yeah. A lady wrote a book called Bitten. Really good book if anyone wants to buy that. Although she wouldn't come on the show because I mentioned that I did ozone and did stuff like this, and I think she's a bit straight down the middle. She's a proper journalist.
Right.
But. She did a really good book. She interviewed Willy Burgdorferi, and before he died, and he had all these files showing that, they definitely did all this experimentation on ticks, but they said it didn't work. And as we know, they do say stuff don't work when they actually
Yeah,
do
because all
work.
these things didn't seem to be here before the 70s, did they?
Well,
So,
no, late 60s when they started really happening, when it happened, because it was being worked. There was an island across from Connecticut called Plum Island. They were doing all sorts. It was an animal research center in America, doing all sorts of research on animals and what have you. And they think a lot of these deer and the birds escaped and swam across to the mainland with these ticks attached to them.
wow.
And
And
so
then
the
that, yeah, and that's where, yeah, it starts spreading
and
across
that's
the
where that's
globe.
where it started in the town of Lyme, in the area of Lyme, LYME. In America.
Wow, now we're paying the price, aren't
Now
we?
we're
And the
paying the
thing is,
price.
yeah, and it just, I mean, when you look at that, then that's the whole homeostasis of the planet. And this is what I like about Dr. Zach Bush. He goes into what's happening not only in the human body, but the soils with animals, with everything on this planet, one thing gets knocked out and the whole balance is knocked out for all of us. And then what's the end result is we all become very, very sick.
Well,
So
and it's just it slow death's the wrong word, but it's associated the syndrome is associated with so many things like Parkinson's and Alzheimer's, to heart conditions, to all these other things that arthritis and loads of other autoimmune diseases like chronic fatigue and et cetera. And the least little thing, most people go and have a tooth out or whatever like you had, and then but it destroyed you. But anyway.
But you know what? Do you know what I think is the inflammation? I think we like and I think it drives all of these illnesses and stuff, that it drives the inflammation. So we're like little, and this is what it's like. It's like we're like little flames walking about, and then we have like one thing done to us, and it's like putting gasoline on that
Yeah,
flame.
exactly.
You
Yeah,
know,
just
and it's
blows
like,
up. Yeah.
yeah, we've still got that simmering inflammation inside of us because our balance is out, and it
Yes.
just takes one little thing. And this is what people, especially in the medical system and dentists, don't understand. It just takes one thing that we react to that then drives that
Well,
inflammation
the
back
issue is
up.
as well, a lot of the times we've been treated by people who've never had the actual illness that you've had, so they can't relate to it. So there's no they just can't relate to what anybody's going through, which is why we
Yeah,
have to do it ourselves.
exactly.
So a lot of people ask me about vitamin C, and I'd say vitamin C, as Dr. Thomas Levy on a few months ago. I'm getting back on actually to talk about some other stuff, but and we were talking about vitamin C. Vitamin C has been one of my go-to things over the last 15, 16 years. In various different types. I mean, we do sell certain types. We don't sell all the types for various reasons. I.e., so you can get tablet form. We don't sell tablets because there's too much a lot of binders and stuff attached to
Yeah, a
them.
lot of additives in.
We sell capsules in the form of sodium ascorbate and ascorbic acid. We sell powder in the same thing. I generally take powdered sodium ascorbate because it's easier on the gut. But people like ascorbic acid. Some people like the taste of ascorbic acid. We also sell a supply of Lipsomal, and these are the sodium ascorbate powder and Lipsomal are the two daily things that I use to help me through the last 15 years or so. I don't take as much of it as I used to do now because I don't feel like I need to, which is a good sign. But I still take quite large doses. And people ask me about dosages. So I'd be interested in your thoughts. I'll tell people my thoughts, what I take, what my kids take, what I've seen other people take. Yeah. And we'll talk about IVs after because it's slightly
Right,
different
okay.
IVs. Yeah. Yeah.
There's
So.
loads of different types of vitamin C. And I'm like you, ascorbic acid and sodium ascorbate and liposomal are the main ones that I use. But there has been some other types. So vitamin C with bioflavonoids works really well. I have used that because bioflavonoids, which are found in some foods like black currants, are high in antioxidants, and they're really good at treating inflammatory conditions. So things like rheumatoid arthritis and things like that, I tend to use vitamin C with bioflavonoids. They can really help in high doses. There's also a new kid on the block, well, same new kid on the block, ascorbic vitamin C with metabolites. So that's like Ester C, which is a trademark. Not quite keen on those formulations because they have calcium. So calcium ascorbate, so you've got calcium ascorbate as well, and they use calcium ascorbate. The reason why I don't like calcium in any shape or form as a supplement is that it's not assimilated very well in the body. And I have had people have calcified lumps turn up on their body. And especially with women, they end up with calcified lumps in the breast, which have been diagnosed as breast cancer. And they've gone along and had breasts removed and all sorts of radiotherapy and also all sorts of things when they haven't actually got cancer. They've got a calcified lump from taking calcium supplements. So I tend to stay away from calcium because calcium supplements are, the body doesn't, the body can, the immune system can not absorb it. And it sees it as a threat, and so it'll push it a bit like a toxin into fat soluble areas, and that's why women tend to have these breast lumps that are calcified lumps. And they can be prescribed that if they've got bone density issues from the doctor. And I tell people that the best way to get calcium is, would you believe, green leafy vegetables,
Juicing.
not dairy, yeah, and juicing them, yeah. And so, you know, collard greens and beet greens and all of the things that you would you believe, I think it's, if a look, I think it's parsnip or something like that. The greens from the top of the parsnip are full of calcium. So where people think it's dairy, it's actually not. It's actually green vegetables. If you can juice those, they have to be obviously organic. You get a huge amount of calcium, and then there's magnesium ascorbate, and that's probably 100 milligrams to 900 milligrams of
You can't handle
ascorbate.
big doses of that stuff, can you? It can go through you like a
No. It
Porsche.
can. It can cause you to like poop, but it is
Yeah.
good for people that are on acid reducing
Yes.
medications like proton pump inhibitors, which are another story, which are a bind for me,
Yeah.
and diuretics, and people that have migraines and chronic headaches, if they
Yeah.
take a bit of magnesium ascorbate, can help them significantly. And a lot of people that have palpitations and arrhythmias, and all sorts of things that are wrong, with the heart and blood. Can be
Which is
helped.
why in our Mag 10s, I've got 10 different types of magnesium in there.
I know, I was looking at your supplement.
Yeah,
That
I'll send you
looks,
some through to try.
yeah,
They've
they
got
look really
magnesium
good.
ascorbate in. They're really good at it. I'm not just saying, but I've tested them for years. It's not just, the amount of effort that goes in behind the
Yeah.
scenes to try the. I tried them out. We tried, we had them made up. We sent some testers through. 3 months I were taking them for before we put them out there.
And what are your thoughts of magnesium? Because I know that when I took magnesium and I was high in parasites, it tend to feed a lot of parasites in my gut. And so for a while, I couldn't take magnesium in any shape,
My
form,
wife had an
really.
issue with certain types of magnesium when she had SIBO, but it never seemed to affect me like it did
Yeah,
my
that's
missus.
weird. Yeah, because I did have SIBO as well. So,
And believe me that we passed some parasites, and might be another good conversation at a later date. But I think to have that conversation, I'd have to show images because just to prove what these things, because people say, oh, you talk about this, but well, I've got
yeah,
pictures.
I've got pictures of mine,
Yeah, my
so
wife's got
we
pictures.
could
You know,
do a gallery.
we can gang up on you and show these
I say to
things that
people, "Do you
come
want to
out.
see my pictures?" Everyone's like, "Oh
No,
no, I don't want to see it." But honestly, people would be shocked
yes.
what you do have inside of you when you,
Literally thousands of them came
yeah.
out over 3 4 years. Not as much now, but pretty horrific, really. But anyway,
And
that's
that's
a
where your body's out of balance as well.
yes.
But
But the.
also, I'd like to say to people is it does show a sign of high heavy metals. And if you didn't have those parasites, you never do a parasite cleanse before a heavy metal, a huge heavy metal detox, because some of those parasites are actually saving you from being poisoned terribly by the heavy
Yeah,
metals.
because
And they actually,
like aircraft carriers, they carry all this crap around with them, don't they?
they cloak the heavy metals, and in theory, the candida and the parasites are actually saving your life from being
Which is an
severely
odd
harmed.
state of affairs, isn't it? In
It is
considering
really.
that they're actually draining you as well at the same time.
Yeah, exactly.
We actually noticed that when you were getting rid of parasites, because we've been doing a lot of detoxing, when we're getting rid of parasites. You did feel a bit grim, you
Yeah,
knew
you
these
did.
things were leaving you,
Yeah.
and they didn't want to go.
They
They're
do
nice and
emit some
comfortable.
nasty stuff, don't they,
Yes,
really?
they do.
They're nasty little critters.
But doses, right? So I'll use myself as an example, because I had bad respiratory issues, which I had before I went down with Lyme disease. Whether it's part of it and I've had it forever, I don't know. But like no nose running blocked, but terrible sneezing.
Sinuses, yeah.
All the normal stuff, and also feeling like shit, right? I were taking 3 to 4 teaspoons of vitamin C, depending on how bad I was, every day, over a day, to the point where I'd have a 250 ml water and sodium ascorbate at the side of my bed in case I woke up feeling crap in the middle of the night. For about 10 years, that's not, it's only the last 2 years that I haven't had that at the side of my bed. How mad's that? And that's because of the IVs that we've been doing. But depending on how bad you are, you can handle more vitamin C is what I'm trying to say. It's a use or lose. Some people can handle it better than others as well. On top of that, some people, even if they are in a bad state, still can't handle it that well. But if you started off, if I started off, I'd start with half a teaspoon in about 250 mils of water after food, down it, see how you get on. If it doesn't make you go to the toilet, up it
Yeah.
in the next morning, and then move on and start upping it slowly. Don't just jump in with both feet and try and have loads of teaspoons. You've got to experiment because everyone's different. That's what I've found with different people.
What I think people don't realize is the human, I think humans once had the ability to make vitamin C, because most mammals on this planet make huge amounts of vitamin C when they become poorly. But somewhere along the line, they reckon a genetic mutation occurred in the, I think it's called the, I did write it down, the L-glucan lactone oxidase gene. So we lost the capacity over time to make it when
Or it
we
were
were
taken off
sick.
us.
So there's exceptions. There's humans, monkeys, guinea pigs, and some bats and birds and fish species now no longer make vitamin C when they become sick.
And apparently a giant rat in South America.
Oh, is
Yeah. I don't know what it, I forget what it's called now,
so
but yeah.
not sure what happened and why we lost that why that genetic mutation happened. But when we do become sick, we need huge amounts of vitamin C, and we need amounts of vitamin C to keep us well, in which should be taken in our food, but because of the soil depletion that we have, we just can't get enough of it in our food. So I'll tell you what the recommended daily recommendations are for vitamin C is 90 milligrams per day for men and 75 milligrams per day for women, which I think is
And for
absolutely
kids, it's
good.
something like, is it 30 milligrams or something ridiculous like that for kids? I mean, I've told this story before. My youngster came home from school, and he was, you know, when they're in that state where they're ill and they just want to lay on settee, the red hot. I give him a teaspoon of vitamin C. I put it in a syringe of apple juice and squirted it in his mouth and he drank it. And I said to my wife, I'm just giving him a full teaspoon of vitamin C heaped. So you're talking 7 grams in a heaped teaspoon. She went, so have I. So he'd had 15 grams of sodium ascorbate. And I thought, oh, bollocks, what's going to happen now? And I had visions, you know, it intoxicated him. Half an hour later, he's up and running around.
Yeah. I mean, vitamin C
These are the things
is,
that I've seen time and time
yeah.
again.
And for me, I mean, when I was really, really sick, I followed a lot of Dr. Sarah Myhill,
Yes, I
and
remember.
she said she's very much is like, when you're sick, start taking it to bowel tolerance levels. So that's taking probably a teaspoon of vitamin C every 3/4 of an hour until you get like a grumbling noise in your tummy, and you do know that it's a grumbling noise. It's a bit like a blah 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 going on inside, and then you stop, and then you count how much vitamin C you've had, and you just reduce it by, say, about I don't know, a teaspoon, and that's your what you've got to stick to for the day. That is your that's how sick you are. That's your recommended dose that you should carry on with each day, split into three doses. So you count that up and then you split it into three doses. Well, when I was really sick, I was taking in excess of 120 grams of vitamin C a day. That's how much that I needed to keep myself stable while I was getting myself well, and that's when I knew that I needed at least to start using an IV vitamin C to get it straight into my
Well,
cells.
I my max is I've taken, I think, up to about 70 grams of sodium ascorbate in a particular day. But I think when you're ill, you sort of lose track of what you've taken as well. I know
Yeah,
my
you do.
son, my eldest, he didn't take it on a religious basis, but he knows it works. I remember him not turning up for work, and I rang him, so where are you? Oh, I'm throwing up all night, blah, blah, blah. I said, well, get some vitamin C in here. And he went, I can't move. If I move, I throw up. I said, look, just get some in some water, swill it around your mouth, because he said he couldn't take it drinking it. I said, it'll absorb. And then after half an hour, you'll be able to take it. So he did that, and he rung me up. He says, I'm coming into work. This were about an hour later, because he'd had a tablespoon. I said, how much have you had? He said, a tablespoon. I thought you said a tablespoon. I said, no, a teaspoon. I said, has it not hit your gut? And he went, no. So he'd had a tablespoon, which, I mean,
Yeah,
a
and fully
tablespoon,
absorbed it, because
and
his
fully
body
absorb
is
it.
like, yeah. And if you think about it, we would have not had that mutation, and our bodies, if you look at dogs, for instance, dogs when dogs get sick, well, dogs can eat all sorts, can't they? I mean, I know when my dog was a puppy, he would eat all sorts of stuff. He would eat, I don't know, sheep's poo and you name it. Like, oh, I'd be like, oh my God, how come he's not sick? Because dogs produce excessive amounts of vitamin C. And so they very rarely get sick. That's why they can eat raw meat and all sorts of things, because they're the way they make vitamin C is huge, 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 huge amounts. And so this is what I say to people: when you do get sick, you need huge amounts. But we also need a fair bit to keep ourselves healthy anyway. And I looked at, let me find my paperwork, deficiencies of vitamin C. So there's been some studies. So if you look, there was a 2004 study that 14% of males and 10% of females were extremely vitamin C deficient. And they did a test, and 6% of the kids aged 12 to 17 had insufficient levels. 17% of males 25 to 64 were very deficient, and 12% of the females had really bad low blood serum levels. There was a 1999 study in Britain that found 33% of those 65-year-olds and over had consumed insufficient amounts of vitamin C. So in this is proof that we are not getting enough from our diets anymore. And we are eating an ultra processed diet. We're not eating enough vegetables and fruits, or the vegetable fruits we are eating are deficient in vitamin C. And then there was a lot of doctors saying that a lot of their patients were coming in which were bruising easily, and their gums were bleeding. And what it turned out was that they were actually suffering from massive deficiency in vitamin C. And when they upped to quite high levels, their vitamin C levels, the bleeding gums and the bruising went away. And when you are deficient in vitamin C, you do get symptoms like bleeding gums, bruising easily, aches and pains, all sorts of like rheumatoid, like pins and needles in your hands and your feet. And I get quite a few people coming to me and saying, oh, I don't know what's wrong with me, and that will drive inflammation in the body. So I say to people, it's really, really, really important to have vitamin C every single day. And I advise people to take 12 grams of vitamin C, split in three doses as a starting factor. If you're healthy, 12 grams of
We're
vitamin
talking
C.
about an adult here. I'd say
Adult,
what, 15 and above or 12 and above? What would you say?
Say 15, 16
My
and above.
my youngest, who's 13
So,
now, he takes at least probably 10 grams every day. And people ask me, well, what about my kids and stuff like that? The way I look at this is from just going on those figures that you said, what the government advises, 60 milligrams for an adult, etc.
it's just
That was
ridiculous.
set out going back into whatever 1900 when people were getting scurvy. And also, there weren't the chemicals or the radiation caused by
No,
EMFs and stuff like that around
and
then.
that's
What happened?
true. That they will stop you getting scurvy, those amounts, but they will not keep you healthy.
Or they would have stopped you getting scurvy then. What
Then,
happens if we actually need 10 or 12 grams a day now to have that balance of what 60 milligrams did,
but
back
also,
then?
I think our bodies are hugely under oxidative stress. So that's where you've got excess oxidation in the cells because of how toxic our environment has become inside and external that we're exposed to. And the recommended doses, if you look back then, for smokers were 400% likely to be deficient due to excess oxidation. So if you smoke, you have got that excess oxidation in the cells and oxidative stress because you're polluting yourself with tobacco smoke internally. And so if you think now our environment is highly polluted, we need these huge amounts of vitamin C because most of us have got this oxidative stress going on in our cells on a cell level on a daily basis without even knowing about it. And it's that oxidative stress that drives that inflammation, that drives those diseases and autoimmune and all these things that people are getting now. It's almost like it drives that flame. I say to people, if you look at everybody, say there was 100 people in the room, if you look at all these people, they're all got different levels of inflammation in the body. And I say to people, so some people have got they're big flames walking around, and some people they're little flames walking around. And more, if they're exposed to things in their environment, it's like putting gasoline on that flame. So the people with the big flames will, they'll go up in this massive flame, and they will have things like autoimmune and rheumatoid arthritis. And just by taking decent amounts of vitamin C every day, you are less likely to accumulate autoimmune and things that are going on to
I've got a
sort
book
of
upstairs. I forget
yeah.
who it was research done in the, I think the 70s or 80s, and it showed that if people took the right amounts of vitamin C, I'll say the right amounts for them, based on what Sarah Mile, that process, which is the one I used, you take a
Yeah.
load of it, see when your gut start rumbling, that's the amount you can handle. You split it into three doses.
Doses
That's
and
where I
carry on
start.
taking that.
And
Yeah,
you
and
take
that's what I
that
say to
over
people.
a, yeah. So it just to recap that, what Claire was saying there is, let's just say you had 3 teaspoons, not all at once, 3 teaspoons after, in within 5, 6 hours, and your gut started rumbling, you felt like you needed to go to loo. That's the amount that you should be taking. Now,
Every
what you do
day.
then is you break them amounts down into smaller doses and take them every
Yeah,
day. Yeah.
into three, I always
Yeah.
say.
Into
Into
three. Yeah.
three with food.
Yeah.
It's always better to take with food
I think
because
so as
you
well.
assimilate it. And also, if you're taking ascorbic acid, it can be quite acidic.
Yeah.
I always made mine into capsules. I bought the powder
Yeah.
so that I wouldn't have any additives, made them into capsules, and then I would take them with my food.
Yeah. Well, I do the same with sodium ascorbate. I take it after food, or if I'm re if I feel well, if I feel really ill, I'll take it any time of day, to be honest with you. So
Yeah, and
that's,
you can sodium ascorbate is great because you can just drink it down and it's not acidic.
yeah. Now there's a big thing about, sorry to cut you off there, but
That's right.
I'm just watching time here as well. I always said we're going to do half an hour. We've done an hour nearly already, but
Always a way.
absorption rates, people always ask me, and the different types. So we talked about powder, sodium ascorbic acid, and the different types of powders you can get. But I stick to sodium ascorbate. I've got friends that won't have anything else than ascorbic acid. It doesn't matter what it is, as long as you're taking one of the other. Anyway, liposomal or lipsomal, whatever we want to say it, is a different type that is made up of different components as well as vitamin C. I won't go into the components because there's different types of components people use. But it's much more bioavailable from an absorption level. However, I always say this to people that if your gut needs it and you're absorbing it very quick, it'll bypass your gut and absorb as into, and you won't get the benefits. You need all of it, is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
You need the sodium ascorbate because that passes all the way through your digestive system. And you need this liposomal because that absorbs into other areas of your body that the sodium ascorbate won't get to, because you're only ever going to absorb about 10% of that maximum if your body's working to full effect. But then you've got IV. Now, I view IV like this. It goes into your blood, so your absorption rate's 100%. However, it's got to assimilate through your body then. So it's never going to get to the far reaches of where you need it.
No, I think you do need all three. And it's weird because liposomal works. I'll just explain to people because people think, well, what's the difference to liposomal? Liposomal has been encapsulated in a liposome. So basically, it's got a fat-soluble outer area. So what it does is it doesn't go through digestion. So when it reaches the top of your stomach before you digest, it is absorbed through the fat-soluble membrane, and it goes straight into the blood system. And that's why you get more from liposomal vitamin C straight into the blood system, but not through the gut. The good thing with ascorbic acid and sodium ascorbate, especially ascorbic acid, is some people have a fermenting gut, and you can use vitamin C. And fermenting gut is where you get a translocation of bacteria that end up in the small intestine, like SIBO, and you start fermenting your food rather than digesting your food. And that can be caused by all sorts of things, especially with the use of antacids and proton pump inhibitors. And so you can use ascorbic acid to reacidify, acidify the, make the pH of the gut be the right pH. And you can stop by doing that. You've got like a little trapdoor, which is from your large intestine to small intestine, and then that manages to work well again, and you can get rid of the translocation of bacteria. And so there's loads of different things that can that vitamin C can help with. And obviously, if you take liposomal, that's not going to help with that sort of problem. And then you've got IV, which goes straight into the cells. But after doing a lot of research, liposomal vitamin C and IV vitamin C work totally different in the
Yes, they
cellular
do.
system.
Pe
And so,
people are saying you could take a box of that and it's like having an IV. It isn't, is it?
no,
It's totally different. Because I got,
totally
I
different.
from my experience, I've got different results from each of them. So it can't be
Yeah.
the same.
And so when someone's super, super sick, I say all three is best.
Yes,
So taking to
100%.
bowel tolerance,
Yeah, I
going
call
down
it
and
covering all
having,
bases.
definitely having an IV, probably once or twice a week, depending on how sick you are, and then taking the liposomal as well, especially when it comes down to respiratory infections like really severe flus, like COVID. You know, having, if you're really seriously ill, I found people that have had all three of those.
You mean that weapon that they've released to help you?
yeah. They could turn to, I could turn around people straight away. I mean, my sister, she rang me up saying she couldn't breathe and she was going to call an ambulance. And I'd already sent her down loads of vitamin C, loads of powdered vitamin C. And I said, right, now start taking to bowel tolerance levels. As
Yeah.
soon as she took to bowel tolerance levels, she could breathe again. And it was that
Yeah.
quick.
And
So.
whatever we think about 2020, some people were getting ill. There's no doubt about that. Something happened. I don't believe it was what they told us it was, but something
No.
happened.
I
Whether
think,
it were a chemtrail, whether it's a frequency, whatever it
yeah.
is, but it never scared me. And the reason it didn't scare me is because I've been goosed for 15 years, and vitamin C always got rid of
Yeah. Vitamin
it.
C, it,
Yeah.
vitamin C, what people need to realize is that when you take high doses of vitamin C, it acts like a medication that will save your life.
And I look at it as a virtual immune system. That's why I look at it, because it,
Yeah.
or a bolt-on immune system, because I didn't, my immune system's obviously been compromised. So that was my, whatever you want to call it, virtual immune system. But I want to talk about IV stuff, because just to end this, we always go to, we always say to people, if they come in and they've got illnesses, generally, sadly, when people come in, they're generally at the end of the NHS treatment. That's the downside with all this.
Yeah, they are.
And so you're dealing with somebody whose last hope is to get vitamin C into them. So not only have you got to educate people, or the toxic relationship they might be in, right? You've also then got to get them up to a level that is going to do some good. And there's lots of research out there that says, 1 gram per kilo, get somebody up to 1 gram per kilo body weight, up to 100 kilos, no more than 100 kilos. That's the ideal weight, ideal amount. So the quicker you can get people up there, but you're not just going to give them 70
No.
grams if they weigh 70 kilos straight away. It's just not, you're not going to do that. You've got to build them up just to make sure that,
Plus, it can be hugely detoxing, and you don't know how toxic that person is and
yes.
how much is going to be pushed out.
I got told how to deal with that. Riordan Clinic in America, they deal with it. Dr. Levy was, in one of his books, was saying that how they do it, if they think, they work out that your ideal amount is 70 grams, for argument's sake, they will give you half of that amount first, and
And
half in
half
3 days
later on
later, or whatever,
to
2 days
yeah,
later.
to combat the toxicity.
Yes, to combat the
Yeah.
hERX, if you get a hERX. So they do it. So you get the still get the 70 grams, but you're getting it in two doses. So yeah, and then there's other stuff you can put in there that benefit that. But yeah, so going back to people who have got the big C, it's a gram per kilo in simple terms. That's where we try and get people up to, as quick as possible. But anything above 20 gram really is therapeutic, I would say.
And you can see a massive difference as well, you know, because I have, you know, I've even using the oxygen therapies, which is like, I mean, I'm not as experienced with the ozone as you are, but I you know, because there wasn't ozone, I used hyperbaric oxygen with
Yeah.
people, and I found that's been really, really beneficial, you know, for people that have got the big C and people that have got chronic fatigue as well, because it works similar, I think, doesn't it, in pushing a huge amount of oxygen into the body. Which stops the growth,
Yes.
which
Well, the
is
first thing
stops
is, like
coming
anything,
through.
you've got to get control, haven't you? You've got to
Yeah, exactly.
stop it taking over, and you've got to get control before you can even think about getting rid of anything. And that's one thing, it's management. If you can manage something for the rest of your life, then that's fine. I mean, your
Exactly.
diet, mine and my wife's diet is, we don't eat anything. Basically, everything's set out every day exactly the same. It's very regimented. It does get a bit
I
boring at
know, and the
times as
thing
well,
is
and I
like
never step out of it.
vitamin C protects the cells. The oxygen actually halts any growth that's in there, and then you've got to detox the body. So
Yes.
like, I mean, like you mentioned the fire info sauna, that was a massive thing for me.
Yeah.
And the fire info sauna, people think it's like a normal sauna. It's not.
No.
The fire info rays penetrate into the body, and they're healing. They're not
Yes.
just healing, but then the fat soluble areas, it pulls the toxins out of the fat soluble areas, so you're able to detoxify through the skin.
You totally sweat a different way. I
Yeah, you
just
do.
wish going back 5, 6 years, well, I've had my infrared sauna since 2012, something like that. I wish I tested what I'd sweated out because,
Yeah, it'd be interesting, wouldn't it? I mean,
yeah.
I can remember right at the beginning, the stuff that came out of me was just,
Horrific.
yeah,
Horrific.
putrid.
It's like if anybody's ever played sport and you go into changing rooms, right? That's how it smelled. It were horrific. It were horrible. They were
And
coming out of you.
I tell you, I don't know if you had this. When I was using the sauna and it was coming out from my skin, my breath was really bad
All
as
of it.
well.
But the
Yeah.
top of your armpit, every it comes out of
Ev yeah.
you imagine that you're getting rid of all these toxins that have been stored there for years and years and years. And it's yeah. But these things have to be done. It's a painful process, sadly, and that's why a lot of people don't want to do it. I don't want to live the life. I mean, I haven't eaten sugar now. I haven't eaten any white granular sugar for 8 years. Yeah. None. Or bread. I haven't eaten any bread for 8 years. Any wheat products for since 2016.
That's good because
Yeah.
they're not good for
No. But what I'm trying to say is, and that's not because I'm trying to be a saint. I know if I eat these things, I feel like dog shit.
Yeah,
So
you do.
I steer away from stuff like that. That's another reason
I mean,
why.
sugar is the worst thing anyone can put in their body.
Yes.
It is a poison to the
Well,
body.
it's Adam's. It's Adam's. It's the apple, isn't it, that killed
Yeah, it is.
it because it's in everything, and.
And I say to people, if it's really hard to come off sugar, there is an alternative. You can use xylitol, which
Xylitol,
isn't a sugar, but it will help people get off the sugar because it is like a drug. It is very hard for people to come off of
yeah,
completely.
it is. All right, we're gonna leave it there. Otherwise, we'll go on all day. There's nothing wrong with that, but yeah. So I've enjoyed that. Thanks very much. Where can people get hold of you, Claire?
I'm on Instagram, so at Alignment for Health, you can find me there, or Claire Wilson Detox, Claire Wilson Detox at iCloud.co.uk.
Right. Have you got your website
No, I haven't, but I'm in the process.
set up yet?
I've been so busy. It's just like
Yeah.
finding time to do it.
Yeah.
But I am setting up a website. It's going to be in combination with it's called supplenatural.com or supplenatural.co.uk. And my website is going to be providing everything natural for the body. So
Yeah.
not just supplements, but also everything to put on the body that will stop you being intoxicated. And I'll be you can contact me through that website when it's up and running.
Right, cool. We'll probably see you before that. Probably this time next year, and you'll still say you're setting
No.
it
Hopefully it'll be set up by then.
up. All
I
right, well,
promise.
yeah, thanks very much, and thanks for tuning in, everybody. Okay, thanks for joining us. That's the end of episode 12. We'll try and make these a weekly occurrence after the summer, because I really enjoy talking about this health stuff. And I hope you do. Let me know if you do. Let me know if there's any subjects you want us to cover. We'll try and get people on who can cover these subjects for you. I'll try and get this out on YouTube, because we weren't talking about anything that bad, I don't think. But we'll see. Thanks very much for tuning in. I will see you next time.